Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many Christians debate the issue of eternal security. Can someone who has been saved ever be lost? The issue is highly contested even now. Today, a look at the words of Jesus about his role as the Good Shepherd and the security this brings. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Listen now as Erwin Lutzer tells us about the gift of security.
The question of whether or not a truly born-again person can eternally be lost is one that has often divided the church. The reason that there is a difference of opinion is that there are some passages in the Bible that seem to teach, they are warning passages, that seem to teach that a genuine Christian can in the end rebel against God and be lost forever. But there are also some passages of Scripture that clearly teach otherwise, and both cannot be correct. And when we look at those passages that seem to teach that you can fall away permanently, we know that there are alternate interpretations which make good sense. So the bottom line is this: what I'm going to be arguing for in this message is the security of the believer. For those who have genuinely put their faith in Jesus Christ, their souls are eternally secure. And this happens to be a message entitled The Inheritance of the Saints, and this is number 7, the security that comes to all those who believe in Christ. I want you to take your Bibles and turn now to the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter of the book of John, and we're going to read a few verses, and I will comment on those verses, and then we will continue through the passage very briefly. John chapter 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus, of course, is speaking, "he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, because they don't know the voice of strangers." In verse 7, you have one of these 7 statements of Jesus: "I am. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Just that far for just a moment. Some commentators have wondered, how can Jesus Christ be both the door and the shepherd? Well, in the Middle East, it is sometimes said that when sheep are resting in a cave during the night, there have been shepherds who have actually lain across the door and slept at the door, so that if anyone tries to get in to steal the sheep or to trouble them, they have to go past the shepherd. So Jesus here is using a metaphor that can be used in 2 ways. He is the door. Through him we have access to the Father, but he is also the good shepherd. And who are these who come before him who are thieves and robbers? They are not the prophets of the Old Testament, the faithful prophets. They are rather some of the prophets that were false prophets. And they were in it for the prophets. And so Jesus said, they are spurious. They are false shepherds, but I am the good shepherd. Now let me explain to you exactly what we're going to do in this message, so that you can follow it with, I hope, a clarity and a blessing that will absolutely be overwhelming. What I'm going to do is to give you 4 things that the good shepherd does for his sheep. 4 things that the good shepherd does for his sheep. And I want you to open your heart to God and just be blessed by how good our shepherd is and what he does on our behalf. First of all, you'll notice that he calls the sheep. He calls them. The text says there in verse 3, we read it, he calls them all by name and leads them out. You know, in those days, shepherds actually, because they were connected to the sheep were for wool. Some of the sheep lived for 10 years. The shepherd actually built a bond with these sheep and gave them names. Often they were descriptive names like that might actually describe the sheep, like black ear or short legs or whatever. But the shepherd gave them names, and he knew them by name, and the sheep recognized that they had a name, and they heard his voice, and they knew it. It is said that in the Middle East, when there were herds or flocks of sheep that spent the night together, in order to separate them, the shepherd would simply go outside of the cave and he would speak words, and immediately those who belonged to him would come toward him, and another shepherd would do the same, and the sheep would separate themselves because they know the shepherd's voice. Notice he calls his own sheep by name. An intimate relationship. Jesus knows your name exactly, and you know his voice through his word. It is not only that it is a personal name, personal relationship, but another way to describe it is that it is really a sovereign relationship. In a few moments, Jesus is going to be talking about the fact that there is this group of people that has been given to him as a gift, namely his sheep. You know, in the Bible, that word calling really has two different meanings depending on the context. There is the general call. Many are called, but few are chosen. But then there's the specific call to salvation. And Paul says, not many of you are called, not many rich, not many noble are called. The called are, biblically, the elect, and they receive a special call from God. Now, later I'll explain that you can know whether or not you are part of that company. But it is so personal. Perhaps at Founders Week you heard Stephen Davey give that wonderful illustration that he was in India, and he walked into this hotel, and a man walked next to him, came over to him and said, I want to tell you your future. He was very impressive, dressed in a white suit. And Stephen didn't want to, but the man was so persistent. I want to tell you your future. And finally, Stephen said this to him. He said, I'll let you tell my future to me if you answer this question. Tell me my name. And the man looked down and said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And he said, well, you know, the deal is over then. Isn't it wonderful that you and I have a shepherd who knows our name, and he's the one who also knows our future? And when you think of the shepherd out there with all of the sheep, even historically, during the time when Jesus was speaking this, which would have been so relationally correct in terms of the people and their knowledge of sheep, the shepherd has all of the sheep on his heart. And he's very vigilant as he sees them all. Today, God has you on his heart. He calls us. Not only that, he leads us. That's what the text says. He leads us. He leads us out. Now, this happens in two ways. First of all, he goes before them. That's what the text says. And the sheep follow him. So I want you to visualize this happening, how that the shepherd is going ahead and all of these sheep follow. He does not want those sheep to go anywhere where he hasn't gone, because he needs to keep them from poisoned grass. He needs to keep them from danger along the route. And so he never expects them to go alone. He's always ahead of them. And when he comes to a stream and the sheep don't want to follow him, He'll go into the herd, into the flock, and he'll pick up a little lamb and put it on his shoulder, and then he will walk across the stream, and pretty soon the mother, the ewe, follows. And after that, the others say, okay, she's going, all the rest of us will go. And isn't that what God sometimes does in life? He takes a little child or an adult, and when they are home in glory, they are reminding us of the fact that we need also to have a perspective to follow our shepherd all the way, not just across a stream, but across a river to make it on the other side. Now, sometimes the shepherd, however, isn't leading them. He has to be shepherding them. And there are various kinds of sheep I've been learning as I studied for this message. There are sheep, for example, that are cast down sheep. You can see this very clearly. There are many pictures of it. A cast down sheep is a sheep that's on its back because the center of gravity is such that when it tried to get up, it discovered it couldn't. And now it's on its back. And it can't get up alone, can't be righted alone. All that you have is, sheep with its legs in the air, pawing the air, but getting nowhere. You see, David was a shepherd. And that's why in the Old Testament he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That's the imagery. You sometimes feel like that. I'm sure that I have felt like that. Where we are just cast down, nothing that we do materializes, we are going nowhere, and we feel helpless, and we can't get ourselves righted apart from the shepherd coming along and setting us upright. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, said David. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. You've just heard part of a message that is entitled The Gift of Security. Actually, this message is part of a larger series entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings that Belong to All Who Trust Christ. I was meditating in Romans chapter 8, where it says that he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So as I was thinking about it, the idea came to me that I should preach a series of messages that will help us to understand those all things. That's why these messages include topics such as the gift of predestination, the gift of righteousness, the gift of an intercessor, and now we're talking about the gift of security. And by the way, my friend, when you begin to understand these blessings better, and you expand your understanding of what Jesus did for you, I assure you that you will be a better worshiper, you'll be a better witness for Christ, you will stand amazed at all of God's blessings. That's why it's so important for you to continue to listen to Running to Win. Find out how you can get these messages so that you can listen to them again and again. God wants to bless us.
Jesus told his disciples that as the good shepherd, he would protect his sheep. But even more, he would give his life for his sheep. Next time on Running to Win, why believers can know that no matter what, they're in the safe keeping of the Savior. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.